public hearing is subdivision 2005-59, Land Lock LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in a MR, medium-density residential district in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, dividing 40.72 acres into 149 lots within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, located southeast of Road 351, 1,800 feet northeast of Road 349. This application has already also been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I ask Mr. Abbott if we have any additional comments since that meeting.
Mr. Wheatley, the TAC report of January 25th, 2006 will be made a part of the record. On the 24th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised plan. The plan in front of you has been reduced to 141 lots. And we've received letters in opposition from John and Patricia Ryan, James and Carol Smith, Don and Colette Stafford, Herbert and Nancy Butler, and Sharon and Tony Eagleton. They will all be made a part of the record, and I'll pass those down, copies of those down for your review, and that's all we've received to date.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Abbott, is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, sir, Mr. Wheatley.
Gene Byard again for the applicant. With me, it's getting late. With me are Jessica Nichols of Meridian to present the application, and a principal of Landlock, Darren Lockwood. As the project booklet makes clear, what this is a property in, according to the state strategies map, an investment level 2 area. It is zoned MR, medium density residential, and it is in an environmentally sensitive developing area. What's proposed is a project that will have a density of approximately 3.5 lots per acre. And the average lot size, the minimum lot size will be 7,500 square feet. As you all know, in the overlay zone, lots can be reduced to that size, but the underlying density permitted by the zoning classification cannot go up. There is central water, will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. There will be central sewer. There is a letter from the county engineer's office in the package indicating that sewer may arrive in 2008. With that, I'd ask Jessica to come up, introduce herself again, and take the commission through the neighborhood surrounding the site.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Nichols with Meridian Architects and Engineers.
You could go to the board, Jessica, and walk the commission around the area surrounding the site.
This is an aerial photograph overlaid with the tax maps showing the site, highlighted here, as well as the communities located around Banks Harbor Retreat, specifically being an adjacent subdivision, and Whites Creek Manor being an adjacent subdivision. But it's clear from this plot that extends that this is a dense developed area, and that this is clearly an infill parcel.
Is it correct that in the immediate area, this is the last piece of vacant land standing?
Yes, that's correct.
Can you describe present site conditions?
This site is presently partially being farmed. I believe it's a soybean crop. There's a section down towards White's Creek in this darker area that is, I want to say wooded. It's not necessarily, it's not forest land. It's more like sporadic trees. There's an existing dwelling located back in this area.
Are there any unique archaeological or historical features on the site?
There are no historical features that I got from the comments that said that there were no historical or cultural features on the site.
Is there anything unique on the site that's not?
The bomb shelter.
There is a bomb shelter on the site. case the commission would like to visit it.
Correct. Can never be too careful.
Tell us about your trip to PLUS and your response.
This application was reviewed by PLUS in June of 2005. Again, you have the specific itemized comments, or how we addressed the comments that PLUS generated. That is in your booklet. Again, I'll highlight these unless you need any further clarification. Mainly, the first thing, well, let me just, the layout of the subdivision has been revised. The number of lots from when we went to PLUS has been revised from 159 to 141 lots to reduce the impact on the natural resources, which was the major concern generated from the PLUS comments. Of those lots that were lost, two of the lots along the water were eliminated to create a recreational area. There is an existing dock located on the site where the house is that we maintained as an area where you can have a kayak launch or whatnot for a community amenity. The Department of Transportation comments were addressed as well regarding right-of-way and permanent easements, which we've all dedicated. A multimodal, multi-use path has been allotted along that road as well. There was a comment from DLDOT regarding interconnections to Banks Harbor, and we didn't pursue that because we didn't feel that that was something that Banks Harbor owners would.
I'm not sure how to respond to a PLUS comment like that, because it seems absurd to approach a fully developed community and say DLDOT would like us to build a stub road to enter your community. That makes no sense. But we didn't respond to PLUS in that regard.
A Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, they were concerned about the wetlands. Again, with this plan, there are no lots in the wetlands. There is a wetland buffer added to the plan. In a lot of areas, the lots are up to 30 and 40 and 50 feet from the delineated wetland line. Again, TMDLs, impervious cover, those issues are all going to be addressed through pollution management plans and stormwater plans in accordance with Sussex Conservation District and DNREC. Water supply, as Mr. Byard said, will be through Tidewater Utilities, which is the existing provider in this area. There is a floodplain. The 100-year floodplain line runs through this site. It's not on this plan, but it is on the plans that you have in front of you. With regards to the 100-year floodplain, we run across this a lot. We just have to make sure that the roads are built above the floodplain, that the first finished floors of all lots are above the floodplain, so there won't be any impact to the 100-year floodplain. Forests and open space. The amount of woodlands, we revised the plan per the original plan that we went to PLUS with. The amount of woodlands that could potentially be affected went from 7.4 to 4.9. Now, that doesn't mean that 4.9 acres are going to be affected. What that means is there are lots and right-of-way in 4.9 acres, but we would like to have selective clearing on the lots. Open space has been increased from 3 acres to 6 acres. Rare species and buffers. There's much more detail regarding the rare species and whatnot in a section in this environmental report that was compiled by Envirotech. We retain their services to put together the environmental assessment section of this report, and they go into some fairly significant detail regarding the rare species and vegetation and whatnot on this site and how we propose to preserve that. Recreation, sidewalks, again, sidewalks have been added to both sides of the streets as well as street lighting, and like I said before, the outdoor recreation area added down in along White's Creek for to access the existing docks for canoe, kayak, and picnic areas. Let's see. Department of Education, again, we have proposed the covered bus stop as well as, and we can put parking area at the front of the development. And that kind of hits on the major things regarding PLUS.
Before you get to 99-9C, gentlemen, if you look at the environmental assessment which was prepared, there appears to be a possibility that two rare or threatened species may be nearby this property. One is something called the four-spined stickleback, which evidently is some sort of fish, which inhabits calm, shallow, and heavily vegetated waters. This project is designed not to have any impact whatsoever or disturb in any way the waters of White's Creek. Similarly, there is something called a pie-billed grebe, a rare bird, which is known to nest in emergent wetland species. As Jessica has told you, there will be no impact on wetlands. The project is set back significantly from wetlands. Jessica, to 99-C, if you will.
Like I said, there's a lot of information in this report prepared by EnviroTech that I'm not going to get to. Okay. With regards to 99-9C, the proposed project is located in an MR area at a density of 3.49. The parcel, as we discussed earlier, is similarly developed as the majority of the surrounding area. All lands considered title or non-title shall be preserved. There are no known historic properties, save the bomb shelter. There are 6 acres of open space on this site. The removal of the trees will be limited. A 15-foot easement has been provided along County Road in addition to the dedicated right-of-way, the 15-foot multimodal path. There is an additional 15-foot landscaping buffered area along there. There are also, regarding buffers to adjacent areas, along the southern property line that abuts White's Creek Manor is where we have left varying degrees of open space there, I think the minimum of which would probably be about 30 feet and going up to 50 or more. And there is an existing hedgerow between the property along the northern property line, buffer between Banks Harbor. The development is located in the Tidewater Utilities CPN, or CPCN, Central Water Supply by Tidewater. The sewer will be, it is located in the North Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, and sewer will be provided. There's a letter to that effect in this report as well from Sussex County Engineering Department. Stormwater management, erosion, sediment controls, pollution, all through implementation of best management practices with DENREC and the Conservation District regulations. Subdivision roads will be designed to meet or exceed Sussex County Engineering Department and State Fire Marshal regulations for safe vehicular access, as well as the sidewalks and streetlights throughout the community for safe pedestrian movement within the community. The subdivision layout, the density, the lot size, the arrangement is similar to that of the existing subdivisions, although the amenity of that we have provided buffers and along the wetland line on White's Creek, which I don't think is necessarily something that we have around us. The site is located within the MR area, which you talked about, with the development of the 7,500 square foot lots. The proposed subdivision shouldn't have an impact on the schools or public buildings or community facilities as it's being developed in an area which is expected to become generally urban in nature. And we have left the bus stop as well at the front of the community. similar improvements with DelDOT, whatever, when we get to the design process, we will have the right turn lanes, the bypass lanes, whatever is necessary along that road. And using buffers, a tree mitigation plan, which I neglected to mention because that's in this section of the environmental assessment report, if I can find it, relates to, here it is, trees with a diameter at breast height of 12 inches or greater will be replaced in the community open space at a ratio of 1:1. So that part of that, if you go into the environmental part prepared by EnviroTech, it goes into the tree mitigation, the tree preservation. And using the buffers, the tree mitigation plan, the stormwater management plan, the project should mitigate all impacts of the land development.
All right, thank you. Gentlemen, if you look again at the site map, you'll see this is what it is. It's an infill parcel. It will be designed to 2006 standards. It will contain wetlands buffers, self-contained stormwater management, water access for the community, sidewalk streetlights, and multimodal paths. The density is less than that permitted by county ordinance, and this is designed in such ways so that it should have little impact on its neighbors. Now, I suspect there are a number of people here who are going to speak to the contrary, but I think having read five letters that object to this application, the gist of those letters is traffic, and the condition of Clubhouse Road, and density. I point out again, this density is less than what's authorized under the ordinance. As to traffic, this is in a state strategies level 2 area where the state says it will invest in infrastructure. The problem there is the state now says it doesn't have any money. So the state's investment presently in infrastructure is limited. I suspect the cost of that investment will be passed on to the developer. More than that, I can't say. But I appreciate the neighbor's frustration with the condition of roads in the Millville area.
We want to add this to the record, the mistake regarding Ocean View.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay. Questions?
Well, let's see if we have any. Mr. Schmidt.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To reiterate, Mr. Byard, what I heard you say was that any of the runoff due to the impervious surfaces will be handled by the developer
on
within
site.
This development.
That's the plan.
In site. And that there is no desire by the developer to attempt to do any stub streets into the neighboring developments.
Frankly, Mr. Smith, I don't understand what DelDOT is thinking when it recommends stub streets in an area that's fully developed. It is absurd. What would be proposed? The neighboring developments throw somebody off a developed lot and say we want to put a street through here? Why in the world should a neighboring development want traffic through its property? But our position is, unless a development comes to us and says, geez, we're fully developed, but we like stub streets, why should we respond? It just doesn't make sense.
Back to the drainage and your location of the stormwater management ponds, do you feel that that proximity to Clubhouse Road, that is the best spot for that? Was there a reason?
We actually, stormwater on this site, and this is through conversations with the Sussex Conservation District, this is a tidal water body, and we're really going to implement quality management, so ponds aren't necessarily required. They want us to use bioswales, bioretention throughout the community. This is just something we could put in as an amenity in the front of the neighborhood. It may not necessarily be that close to the road, but we have that open space. It may or may not be a pond. It's not necessary that it's a pond for stormwater, but we might want to do it as an amenity to the neighborhood.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you may be doing some dry ponds or bioswales.
swales and bioretention and some of these newer BMPs like rain gardens and whatnot throughout the community. They're low impact because all we have to do is address the quality of the water.
Down the recreation open space access area down by Waste Creek, is there any plans to have parking there so the residents could?
I believe that we will probably have to have a few parking spaces off of that cul-de-sac.
The previous public hearing aside, but I'm struck when I see this of a lack of my perception of amenities that were previously presented by the same developer in this, your same presentation. Lack of
the difference, Mr. Smith, is this is not a cluster that is. This is an infill and inner area that's otherwise fully developed. And it's something not required either under the environmentally sensitive overlay or the MR ordinance. What is created is 6 acres of open space. If you do the math on a 40-acre parcel, that's not an insignificant amount of open space.
No other questions at this time?
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gordy?
No questions.
Mr. Johnson?
Well, mine's perhaps more of a comment, Mr. Byard, rather than a question, because you raised the issue about the interconnectivity between developments, and it's my understanding from a land use planner standpoint, that's to provide with some, again, interconnectivity between developments of people perhaps wouldn't have to drive on the Clubhouse Road if they were visiting a friend who's in the Banks development or, you know, et cetera. So when you see streets that already stub up to your proposed development, I don't think we're trying to, they're proposing to displace anybody from Banks.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was being facetious, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, I forget your facetiousness.
Sorry, but where you have long established developments that are probably, if not fully built out, really close to being fully built out, to me, it's offensive that DelDOT would even suggest such a thing. Surely this developer, who's the last one to come along, would do it if he were required to do it. But isn't that something that should be put to the neighboring community first? That's my point, and it never is.
I would add to that I don't think that planning and zoning has the authority to require stub streets to connect to somebody else's streets when they've got a homeowners association and a scheme of governing and maintaining and collecting assessments for those streets. I see where if there's undeveloped land, it's good because then it does promote exactly what you're talking about. But the Planning and Zoning Commission, I don't even think if they came to us and said that we have an agreement with the neighboring property that we could, or the commission could require that. I just think that's outside the scope of our authority.
And I guess my final comment would piggyback on what Mr. Smith was saying in terms of the lack of amenities. Although I understand that it's not required and under the MR and that it is infill, it certainly would provide some relief perhaps from people having to travel on the roads to have any sort of recreation at all. So from a community design standpoint or more livable Delaware concepts, certainly having some other amenities would add to a sense of community as well as a sense of recreation for the residents, even though it's not required under the MR.
We understand. We'll take that under advisement.
No further questions or comments at this time.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
Two questions, one on the plan and one for just curiosity. Is there two entrances to, or can you access White's Creek by that blue pond there? I know the one entrance would
be. No, that's another development.
Over here?
No, right. There's you got a stub street that you got a dead end that comes out now in your development.
Here.
Yep. Can you go down that blue?
There is an open space area here. I think it's about a 20-foot between the lots, and it opens into this area.
So that'll be an access area, and then your other one would be the one that would be direct. And you would put parking or something there. Second question, where's the bomb shelter?
I think that it's the house. Existing house is right where this cul-de-sac is. And I think it's right around the
existing
house.
Put it in for personal use?
Within running distance.
Yeah.
I think it was installed for members of the commission.
No further questions.
Thank you. Lane?
Your site plan shows two, what I'm assuming to be docks or piers projecting out into Waits Creek. Is there any intent to expand upon those, and what type of kayak, canoe, I'm assuming, but is it a motorboat also?
I'm not that familiar with what's existing out there. No, it's a fairly small existing dock, and I don't think that they're going to expand onto that. It's
appears to be two stubs.
Yeah, no, that's there are two projecting areas out, but it's one piece. It's like one access to go. That little orange area, it's somewhat of a U shape.
No intent to put a boat ramp or anything of that nature.
No. It's low key kayak, canoe.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Counts.
Just one question and comment on a couple of your lots. Open space abuts the existing wetlands where you have the 1 foot buffer.
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans for field marking that so that the owners of the lots or the whoever's maintaining the open space knows that that's where the limits of the what of the buffer is, and to not seed it and mow it?
That section of the wetlands is a pretty, it's a ditch. It's a drainage ditch that we think the property owner put on. It's not actually wet for very much of the time, but it's a clear delineated ditch, and those are the extents of the wetland. And then you have the 10 feet until you get to the people's property. So if they stay on their property, it'll be pretty clear where the wetlands are there.
So you're not going to field mark the limits of the buffer or in any way let them know? Just rely on the map that they look at once when they buy the property and never again?
Well, I mean, they could flag the limits of the wetlands, but it's
encroachment with fertilizer and cutting and
right.
Sheds and stuff like that end up going on to.
I understand your point, Mr. Katz, and it is probably best addressed in the restrictive covenants and managed by the Homeowners Association, since ultimately control of the open or the common areas will belong to the association.
I have more faith than I do.
Depends on the association.
That's what I mean. Thank you, that's all I need.
Robertson.
No questions.
All right, then. We thank you.
Thank you.
Finally, stand down for a moment. We'll see if anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-59 Landlock LLC? I'll bet there is someone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-59, who all of you have been waiting very patiently. All I would say to you is we get to do this two or three times a month. Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Sidney Hart, and I live at 101 Clubhouse Road, which is adjoining this new development. And I am very concerned about the stormwater runoff that is going to be generated there once they put the asphalt and concrete down. And it's going to come right down onto our property on Clubhouse Road. Because of that, this is the way the ditch system is set up. Also, complete the engineering for stormwater runoff and traffic input. Clubhouse Road dead ends down into the new development of Toll Brothers. There's 87 homes down there. There's another development besides that. Where's all these cars going to go? And there's only one way in and out of there. And I'm caught right there in the middle. And I would like to have an engineering study done on this before any decision is made and showed to the Homeowners Association. Now, I know that they've been turned down by the Banks Harbor Retreat Homeowners Association for an exit road into our development of Banks Harbor Retreat. So at one time, they did ask for a right-of-way in there. And that's basically what I have to say. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Over here. Excuse me for pointing.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Jim Schaefer. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association for Banks Harbor Retreat. I live at 125 Main Street, Banks Harbor Retreat, Millville, Delaware. I have a lot of questions mainly, and has there been a state authorized impact study done for this project at this time?
What type of impact study?
Traffic, environmental. I mean, they've gone out and done a lot of studies, but have they actually done anything that has been state approved or county approved? I guess that's what you guys are here for too. My next question I have here concerns, they say there's no impact on the wetland and the existing wildlife that's there. Well, this has been farmland for 100 years. Now all of a sudden you're going to put 141 houses on there. How can that not impact these animals that live there in those wetlands when they were never there before? I mean, that has to be an impact of some type in my mind. Of course, they might not be driving through there. And Mr. Hart's point there is the Homeowners Association has not been approached by these people at this time to ask for an access road and been denied. The previous owner may have been denied access at one point, Mr. Hickman, for farm purposes, but nobody has come to us at this point in time. And we have other concerns such as they said the buffer between our community and this land is a hedgerow. Well, to us, it's a tree line. So what's going to happen to that tree line now? I mean, they say hedge, we say trees, which circle encompasses that whole piece of property. So that's a concern of the members of our community. They also have concerns that not many of the communities that surround us have street lights right now. Not a lot of people want them. So what impact is now all this lighting going to have on the people that will be facing those properties? And Mr. Hartz will be one of them. And there's a few other people that I'm sure will get up and speak about that as well. So those are some of our concerns, and definitely the water runoff, as Mr. Hart spoke. So, I mean, we have a problem there right now where we get a lot of runoff that comes down there through that farmland that actually gets soaked into the ground. What's going to happen now when that gets impacted with lawns that now are going to be packed down a little harder, macadam streets and things of that nature? And we kind of see Clubhouse Road getting flooded at times because it gets flooded now. And in these studies that they've done, have they been done with consideration of the existing two developments that are being built at this time that Mr. Hart had spoke about, the two by Toll Brothers and Ryan's? You know, I mean, was their study done before those properties were approved with their impact studies? And now, is it going to change what they're doing because of what has happened with these people down the road? These are concerns that the community has. And I guess my next thing is more of a comment for the commission. Our homeowners association never got notice of this meeting. I mean, only a few people that kind of bordered that property personally got notice, but the homeowners association never got any notice that this meeting was going to happen.
The law does not require the commission to notify associations. It requires them to notify adjacent property owners.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Not especially. The law only requires that the site be posted and that there be public notice in newspapers.
Okay.
We do the notification as a courtesy. If the homeowner association owned property within 200 foot of the site, you should have got a notice. But it's typically 200 foot from the site.
Well, I guess we actually do, because that tree line that goes up is common property that we pay for mowing. So I would say we're within 30 feet of that property then, or 50 feet of that property, so we probably should have.
Are you the deeded owner of that land? The association is.
Yeah. The problem is probably with that is that, as I said, it's not a legal requirement, but it's going to depend where the address is or where the tax parcel number identified is on the tax maps. But according to the file, all the property owners within 200 feet of the boundaries of the property were notified, and that's in the file.
What type of streets do you have in Banks Harbor Retreat? Are they state maintained?
No, they are not. They are not county maintained or state maintained.
That's why I was asking.
They are
private streets.
Private streets, right. Yeah. Township at this point.
So then you would have been within 200 foot. If there was a parcel number on the street, you would have gotten it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's all I really have. Some of our other members that were able to show up have some things to say to. I thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Sir, before you step up, I would like to ask Mr. Byard to come forward while these items are fresh in everyone's mind. And would you address
yes,
the gentleman's concern regarding an impact study and the potential for the streetlights to be offensive to the neighbors? You may want your engineer
I
to
I think
do
I'm going to call 911 and ask for an engineer.
Okay.
Let's Jessica, can you come up and talk about the streetlight design and talk about the traffic study?
Well, regarding the streetlight design, typically the streetlights are low and low projecting light, and the homes are higher, so the homes would actually act as a buffer, more or less.
So these are not public design lights. These are not public street lights like you would see on a highway or something.
No.
These are just
they're
shorter,
probably barely
12,
much taller.
15 foot high poles,
if that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And very low wattage.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was the other
traffic
question?
The gentleman asked about
the question was whether or not the Toll Brothers project and I believe Orion project were taken into account when traffic was studied on this project.
Well, the only traffic study that we didn't actually have to do, wasn't warranted to do a traffic study for this project because it does not meet requirements of a traffic impact study.
Who told you that?
Well, DLDOT has a requirement that if the traffic generation is over a certain amount, which that amount comes at around 215 lots. Each lot generates 9 point something trips. And once you get over a certain point, then DLDOT requires a traffic impact study. And because this is only 141 lots, it was not warranted. So the only thing that we were required to do was to come up with the trips that would be generated at the site. So as far as the study goes, I can't really.
Well, they didn't ask you for that. Are you saying they didn't ask for one?
It's not required. It's not asked for.
Well,
I think, Mr. Wheatley, maybe the better answer is that DLDOT, being the keeper of all traffic information on Clubhouse Road and elsewhere in the greater Millville Ocean View area, has a pretty good handle on what traffic generation and vehicle trips might be. What DLDOT has done is respond in the plus content comments with what is required to finish this project.
Very well. That's all I wanted to
ask. Another question related to the same thing.
In
your review by DLDOT and their requirements for bypass lanes, decel lanes, XL lanes, did they require any review of any intersections in close proximity to the site?
No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Yes, sir. Sorry to hold you up.
My name is Cliff Eskridge. I live at 609 Bonnie Street in Banks Harbor. My question is, or concern is, that as they develop this property, will there be any fill brought in that will be used to increase the elevation of the properties and would add to the add to the runoff of water that would then come back into Banks Harbor or the White's Creeks Manor?
Okay. Let me tell you what I know about stormwater management, and that is that, and I know this is a recurring concern that folks have, and it's certainly understandable. The law says that they cannot run their water on you, basically. That's what it says. Their system has to be designed to contain, retain, detain, whichever of those things applies, their stormwater, and so that it goes off in a manner that it's designed to go into either a state system or an on-site pond or some approved outlet for the water. So whether they bring fill in or don't bring fill in, it really wouldn't be relevant because they're going to have to take care of their stormwater. And if you are experiencing runoff from your neighbors, call the Sussex Conservation District because they're not supposed to do that to you.
All right, thank you.
In fact, call them ahead of time if in fact there's construction not, well, this project hasn't been approved yet, but if anywhere around you, if you feel like you're getting water from somebody else, that's an issue.
All right, thank you. The other concern I have is the tree line hedgerow, as other neighbors have expressed. It would be nice to leave a buffer. And I noticed you said cutting down trees that were greater than 12 inches diameter and replacing one for one, which is very nice. But I guess my question is that, I'm losing my train of thought. We have these trees there right now. And while you addressed the property on White's Creek's Manor, you just mentioned that there was a tree-lined hedgerow, but you didn't really address whether you were going to leave any of those trees there or you were going to take them all down. And I was just wondering.
Hold on now. You need to tell me, and then I'll ask her.
Okay. I was just.
That's just the rules. I didn't write them. It's just
okay,
my job.
Okay. Fine. That's my question. Whether
okay.
I say it was addressed that there was a buffer between White's Creek's Manor and open space was going to be left, but it was just addressed that there was a tree-lined hedgerow between Banks Harbor, but really didn't address whether they were going to leave those trees. You just mentioned that there was a tree line there.
I'll find out for you right now.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Ms. Nichols, could you respond to the gentleman's question, please?
I believe in actuality that a lot of that tree line is actually on lands of Banks Harbor because although there's a 50-foot right-of-way along the property line, the pavement, there is 15 feet from the edge of the pavement of the roadway to our property line, that is where the majority of that tree line exists. So we wouldn't be able to take it down anyways.
Not yours.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anyone else like to speak this evening? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is William Anderson. I live at 781 Hickman Drive. The one thing I wanted to know was, in their preliminary plans, do they have a phase? Do you have a building phase? How are you going to bring it in? Not yet. There's a private road. Can I talk to her?
Yeah, talk to me.
Okay. There's a private road going into the house where Mr. Hickman lives.
Uh-huh.
We were talking, and he says he has lifetime rights to get into his home where that bomb shelter is.
Yeah.
The bomb shelter is actually a lookout station built by Delaware Civil Defense back in 1942. So it does have some historic value. Also, where the power line runs through the middle of the soybean field, there is, according to Mr. Hickman, a family of coyotes? Huh?
Fox and coyotes.
Yeah, anyway, which are rare in Delaware. So you might want to, you know, have somebody check into that.
Seen many a fox, but I don't think I've.
Oh, we got lots of foxes, but he says we do have, you know, with pups. And but the thing that actually interests me is the private road that he put in.
The road.
Yeah.
Okay.
That he told me, you know, he's got lifetime access to get him and his wife to get to his house.
I'll find that out for you.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Ms. Nichols or Mr. Lockwood or somebody, what's up with the lifetime stuff? Mr. Lockwood, you need to introduce yourself since you've held yourself back all night.
Thank you. Darren Lockwood, Meridian and developer and Rehoboth, Delaware is my address. Yes, when we bought the property from the Hickmans, we gave them lifetime rights to the way that the deed, we submitted a copy of the deed, the way the deed reads is that we will either leave him in his house or build him a new house in the general vicinity of where his house is. And we're not necessarily have to provide access on the dirt road. If we upgrade the road to a different house, then that's where its lifetime rights come from.
So if this development were approved, it does not necessarily mean that there will be no development activity as long as he's living.
No, that's correct.
Okay. I think that might have been the minds of some folks. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? I am too. I think that's pretty good. The coyotes. Has anybody seen them? Anybody, have you seen them?
Oh, yeah. Is it wild dog or what appears to be a coyote?
Is it really a coyote?
But
you didn't get close enough to ask him.
There's a den back there, and there are our pups in that farm.
Okay.
Not a gray fox instead of a red fox.
Red.
Yeah. Well, okay. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
George Moran, 17 Cypress Road. I have property in Whites Creek Manor I'm going to be building on.
All right, sir. Go ahead.
And I keep hearing that this development is a...
Infill.
Mm-hmm. That's the same as surrounding. I'm not sure about Banks Harbor Retreat, but in Whites Creek Manor, the lot sizes are 10,000 square feet and greater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are 7,500 square feet. To me, that's not the same.
That's
a fair amount smaller.
I understand.
So it's more per square per acre.
The term infill generally would refer to an open space between two developed areas, not necessarily having to be the same.
But your point
is well taken that these lots are of a different size.
Right. So
if I could just add to that too, the reason that they are is because this entire area, like other parts of the county, is subject to what's called the Environmentally Sensitive Development District Overlay Zone, which allows you to get to 7,500 square feet. But it's still based upon the same density that everybody else has around there, the MR density. So
the number of lots per acre.
Right. They're smaller lots, but they're not more lots.
Right.
Because it's the permitted number of lots. They could get the maximum density. They could get the same either way.
Okay. So what you're saying is there is enough open space to justify the smaller lot.
Well, that's not the way that the calculation works according to the ordinance. It's not really tied to open space with, that's sort of a different ordinance that we have, which is the clustering ordinance. This is different. I mean, so you don't really look at open space to determine the number of lots. You look at the maximum density permitted under the MR zone, and then you can go down to 7,500 square foot lots and keep that same density.
So what this is the maximum amount of lots in the minimum of square in the minimum acreage.
Actually, it's not. The maximum on this one would be 159 lots would be permitted, and they've only proposed 141. So.
Okay. All right.
Is that it?
Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir.
My name is Herb Butler, Banks Harbor Retreat. Mm-hmm. And I live on this corner right here. I would like to show you on the map.
Sure, right ahead.
I just wanted to make you aware that I live right here in this corner here, and this whole area here in the springtime is flooded between 4 and 6 weeks. And there's a berm comes along here, my property, 3 foot high, and usually the water comes over top of that berm. And I get water in my backyard. So what's going to happen if they're going to put a runoff for all this water? Because the water comes all the way down to here, pretty over, all the way over to White Street, this whole area. So that's just what, and that's also it's the home to the Sussex County tree frogs. You know, you can see all the, but they come up by the souths every spring when the water goes down. Then, so I just thought I wanted to make you aware of that.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak this evening? Yes, sir.
Big John.
Excuse me, I'm an old man. My name is Donald Mabey, and I thank you for your time. I live at 207 Banks Road. And the first thing I would like to address is that they said there's no problem with the schools. But if you look at all the development we have going on down there, who's ahead of their development, the schools are going to be overcrowded. Now, we just got done fixing up Lord Baltimore and built a new high school, and thanks to everyone in Sussex County, we're doing great, I think. But I don't think we should make a statement that it is not going to impact schools, because I think it is going to impact schools. And that's probably good in the long term, but I think when we're considering short term, we should think of that. And I'm... really concerned with, are they going to be single houses? Is that what's going there? they're not going to be more townhouses like in...
No, they're single-family lots.
Single-family lots.
Okay, that
probably
makes me feel better.
Probably one and two-story, maybe three, I don't know.
And I would like to address the fact that...
If it's approved.
They say that the roads are handling the traffic. Well, this summer, they've been putting sewers in, so they had Mill Run Road closed. And I attend church at Millville United Methodist Church, and I spend a lot of time there because I'm the lay leader. And I tell you, gentlemen, there were a lot of accidents at the corner of that road because people couldn't get in and couldn't get out. So I'm not saying that perhaps this is a bad idea. What I am saying is that if somehow, some way, you can wait until the infrastructure gets a little better, that I think it would benefit everyone. And also, it was stated that there isn't any land, any more land to develop. If you go over here, on this side, there's developments all around. I know you just must have passed one, so there's farmland by the acre after acre there to be developed. So it doesn't have to be to say that this is the last place to be developed, because I think it's plenty of land to be developed. But I don't want to stop progress either. So, and I would urge you to cut down the number of homes there. It just seems too, if you look at White's Creek and you look at Banks Harbor Retreat, you'll notice that the homes, there's more grass around them. There's, and I don't like cutting grass, but there is more grass around them. So, no, and we're kind of used to that.
Okay. So,
I just wanted to make my opinions.
Well, thank you. Anyone else like to speak? And yes, ma'am. You've been waiting very patiently.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to say I do not envy you gentlemen at all. I could not take this every single week or however often you do this. I'm Roberta Walter. I live at 100 Clubhouse Road, Millville. Actually, my property is lot number one on the tax map of Banks Harbor Retreat. I am actually the hedgerow. There is a hedgerow, everyone says, or the trees, but I am the hedgerow. And there is a ditch between the proposed new development and my property. People that have attested tonight to the drainage problem have not exaggerated. There are often times when I am trying to attempt to leave my property in the morning to go to Rehoboth, where my place of employment is, that road is underwater. This is Clubhouse Road. With reference to these turn lanes that have, as I understood them to say, have been requested and tentatively approved or are on schedule, you know, to be done, if anyone's ever driven Clubhouse Road, that is a very narrow, two-laned road that, you know, it's having trouble at this time accommodating all of us that are there without the addition of the new developments. But since we'd all waited so long tonight, I just, you know, want to echo what fellow neighbors, homeowners have said, and officially go on record that we're opposed to the size of this development. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else like to speak in opposition? Just
my name is Chris Mallett. I live at Four Gale Circle in Banks Harbor Retreat. The infrastructures, I read in the paper every day about how we're building stuff and we're not thinking about the future. And I just feel that it is a lot of homes. It really is. It's like, you know, I talked to my wife. I'm like, why don't they build 3-acre lots with one house on them and charge $5 million for one of them? Instead, they're going to squeeze 147 places in there, and it's really tight. Our road can't handle that. You know? I mean, wait, you know, the man was The mayor, up here. He was saying that it's Deldot's problem. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the county's problem. You know, but why are you going to stick 147 homes in there when we already have a problem? I don't know if you guys are the ones that take care of that. I've been taking notes mentally tonight, seeing how this this works. You know, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, last call. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for your patience this evening, each and every one of you. This is your public forum, and we appreciate your being here. Gentlemen, that concludes our public hearings for the evening.